really certain about whether or not bin Laden was there.
The unbelievable number of U.S. war veterans who commit suicide.
18 of them commit suicide every day on average.
Why is this man so mad at U.S. President Barack Obama? The heavy loss of the Lib Dems.
It was almost total wipeout for the Liberal Democrats, the junior partner in the governing coalition.
This is why the conservative Lib Dem coalition scumbag government.
And the dangerous world of rally racing in Iran with Bianca Rahimi.
These guys call themselves Kalla Khalaf, which basically in English means
having his wounds.
Hi, I'm Kavit Afwai. Stay tuned for those stories, including protests by Egyptians against Israel in front of the Israeli embassy in Cairo in as many weeks, demanding the ouster of the Israeli ambassador from that country, not to mention road rally racing in Iran and a whole lot more. The killing of Osama bin Laden by the U.S. and Pakistan is still making news, but the confusion by U.S. authorities and contradictory statements continue to sting viewers worldwide, like the following admission by CIA Chief Leon Panetta.
Well, the problem was we were never really certain about whether or not bin Laden was there. We had gathered an awful lot of intelligence, and obviously when we found this compound, because of the unique features of the compound, and then began to really take a look at it and continue surveillance over that compound, we were able to look at where the families were located, the fact that the families resembled the family of bin Laden. We noticed an individual who was pacing in the courtyard who at least had some of the appearances of it, but we were never able to verify that, in fact, it was him.
It's been more than a week since the U.S. president announced the killing of Osama bin Laden in an American raid in a garrison town outside of Pakistan's capital, Islamabad. Since then, a number of questions have been raised about such a high-profile killing. Analysts call the story a concocted and orchestrated one. Obama's decision not to reveal pictures of the al-Qaeda leader's body or the raid has intensified speculations. Iran's intelligence minister, Haydar Moslehi, says there are documents proving that the al-Qaeda leader had already died of a disease. He dismissed the U.S. claim that bin Laden was killed, saying if Washington is really telling the truth, why did it refuse to show his body?
It's well known in the American intelligence community that bin Laden died in 2001. It's well known that bin Laden suffered from kidney disease. He required dialysis.
Many Pakistanis also believe the man killed in the U.S. raid was not bin Laden.
Revenge attacks on the U.S. due to the killing of bin Laden was a natural consequence of the killing of bin Laden. Well, the following exclusive interview with a Taliban leader in Afghanistan was evidence of that.
To find out more about this operation, Press TV's cameraman Pervez Safi visited Jumakhan Khadim in Nuristan, who is one of the key Taliban commanders. He says the offensive is aimed to inflict heavy casualties, mostly on occupying forces in Afghanistan.
Over the last 10 years of our jihad, we attacked U.S. convoys and other outposts here. We killed many U.S. soldiers and commanders, and we will continue doing this.
According to Jumakhan Khadim, the recently reported death of Osama bin Laden by the U.S. government has also encouraged militants to step up their attacks.
The martyrdom of Osama bin Laden is a big pride for us. We want to perform the burial ceremony of him by ourselves. But yes, we will not forget the killing of Osama, whether it happened by Pakistan or U.S.
In as many weeks, Egyptians took to the streets of the capital, Cairo, expressing their anger towards Israel. It appears the burning of the Israeli flag, mainly directed towards Israeli policies towards Palestine, has gained momentum.
Allah!
Looking at the Arab uprisings, none appear to be more worried than Saudi Arabia, who's afraid that the notion of the rule of democracy might affect the rule in their kingdom, which begs the question, how much of an influence do they have on what is going on in countries like the Persian Gulf island of Bahrain or Yemen, which experienced one of its deadliest days in one single day, where 16 people were killed with over 200 wounded.
The regime in Saudi Arabia has stood by these despotic rulers since the beginning of the popular uprisings in the Middle East and North Africa. Riyadh gave sanctuary to the ousted dictator of Tunisia, Zine El Abidine Ben Ali, after he fled his country amid the revolution there. Saudi Arabia has also sided with the former Egyptian president Hosni Mubarak. Its relations with the new Egypt are not as cordial as its ties with the old Egypt under the rule of Mubarak. As for Yemen, Saudi Arabia is trying to keep the unpopular regime of Ali Abdullah Saleh as intact as possible. Riyadh has put forward a U.S.-backed plan that requires Saleh to resign in return for immunity from prosecution, despite the killing of many anti-government protesters by his security forces. The Saudi move has angered the youth movement groups that are leading the protests aimed at ousting Saleh. They have called the Persian Gulf Arab states to withdraw any plans that would result in alienating the Yemeni people. In Bahrain, Riyadh has supported the monarchy's brutal crackdown on protesters. It went as far as deploying troops in Bahrain to quell the popular uprising there. Some observers believe the Saudi efforts in propping up the unpopular regimes in the Arab world cannot stem the tide of uprisings that have engulfed the kingdom.
Time now for a reality check. Can you guess how many U.S. war veterans and soldiers commit suicide each year due to their war experiences? The answer may go beyond surprise and may even shock you. As Press TV reported, 18 suicides per day.
The unpopular wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have also had a devastating effect on soldiers fighting them. According to a U.S. federal appeals court ruling, many American war veterans suffer from mental health issues. 18 of them commit suicide every day on average.
Let's zoom in on the program The Autograph now with host Susan Medeiros, who interviewed a war veteran, which gave a feeling as to what a war veteran really feels and what, in this case, this ex-soldier feels should be done regarding the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Initially, when McCord left the military, he had been trying to put the incident he experienced the day of the collateral murder behind him. But on April 5th, 2010, after he dropped his children off to school, he returned home, turned on the news with a cup of coffee, and the first image he saw was himself running across the screen and carrying the child to safety. The 2007 video had been leaked and McCord was seeing on television the images he had replayed many times in his head.
I was very shocked and I was angered because here these talking heads were on the TV breaking this video down and people who weren't even there.
How would you like to see the system change? You have been very vocal since this video came out. What steps have you taken, and ultimately, what are you calling for?
I'm calling for the immediate withdrawal of all troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. You know, there's too many Americans right now thinking that Iraq war is over. Well, there's soldiers dying in Iraq, and there's Iraqis dying in Iraq right now as we speak. Our troops are still there, and you know, the steps I've been taking is to bring more light to the issue of what's at hand, how wars are being handled by the U.S.
Is the Arab awakening that is sweeping the Middle East and North Africa going to make its way to Europe? Yvonne Ridley's guest from the program Agenda seems to think so.
I think the Arab Spring revolutions will spread to Great Britain. The establishment is terrified that the masses, us, are starting to wake up politically, philosophically, and understand that there is no one who has any more authority over you.
Flashback now 1 week earlier, in which Iran's leader reiterated the same sentiment that this British guest had.
فقط این نیست که در کشورهای شمال آفریقا و منطقه غرب آسیا که امروز ما در اونجا قرار داریم اینجاها یک حرکات بیداری به وجود آمده باشه. این حرکت بیداری تا قلب اروپا خواهد رفت.
Press TV's newsroom has been gathering volumes of material of human rights abuses taking place in Bahrain. So much that it compiled and presented this in form of the documentary Brutality in Bahrain, complete with interviews.
Saudi Arabia sent troops to Bahrain to crush efforts to find a mediated solution. Regional tensions were unleashed as Riyadh tried to rally support for its invasion of Bahrain from other Persian Gulf Arab states. And it was then that it started to directly suppress a nation whose only demand was democratic reform. This is Bahrain, where much of the most valuable land is seized by the ruling Al Khalifa family. This is the National Stadium, and this is the Prime Minister's Manor. And this map explains why many call Bahrain an island without a beach. But Saudi Arabia wants undemocratic regimes to stay in place as it fears that it could be next in line to be hit by pro-democracy protests if people's power wins in Bahrain. And that's where it hurts the most. So it has to tap everything in its arsenal to stop the train of movement for democratic reforms sweeping through the region.
And my main concern has been that America or the U.S. administration takes a stronger stand when it comes to the human rights violations and abuses that are taking place in Bahrain. And unfortunately, we haven't seen that happen yet. President Obama, our children's lives are just as precious as yours. And if you love your children, then you should love ours too.
U.S.'s economic woes continue to affect the United States, with its deficit not easing. This is while, according to a recent poll, one in six Americans are considered poor by U.S. standards, a figure which some analysts believe to be higher.
The U.S. drowning in an ocean of red ink, investors abandoning the dollar for gold, dire warnings of the U.S. going broke, and no agreement between the moderate Obama debt reduction plan and the Republican plan involving deep cuts to government spending. The White House and Congress are locked in stalemate. In an attempt to put a dent in the debt, now $14.2 trillion in growing each day, U.S. Vice President Joseph Biden met here at the White House with Republicans and Democrats who lead Congress in the first of a series of meetings attempting between the White House and Congress to find a compromise on what to do next.
Recession or not, I'm going to be joined by Art Laffer. He's Chief Investment Officer of Laffer Investments and former economic advisor to President Reagan. And Peter Schiff, he's President of Euro Pacific Capital. Gentlemen, thanks for being here. Peter, I want to start with you. Although there are more and more people saying that the U.S. economy will be in a recession next year, it is still a minority position. Why do you think that a recession is coming? Just how bad is it going to be?
I think it's going to be pretty bad, and whether it starts in 07 or 08, I think, is immaterial. And I also think it's going to last not just for quarters, but for years.
The U.S. economy is facing one of the most devastating downturns in its history. Even though some believe the worst may be over, there are those who still believe the trend is downwards.
What's your outlook for 2011? You're painting a fairly big doomsday scenario by these notes. I mean, everything in here except for the world coming to an end.
The dollar went out, closed out the year very, very weak. I think that continues in 2011. A weakening dollar is going to put more upward pressure on commodity prices that are already rising. It's going to put more upward pressure on interest rates. And it's going to force the Fed to make a very difficult decision. Aggressively start to tighten and let the chips fall where they may, or to try to postpone the pain. They keep on printing and they unleash an even greater economic disaster.
نگاهی به ارقام دارایی های کاغذی خلق شده توسط برخی دولت ها و بدهی های خارجی آنها ابعاد فاجعه را بیشتر معلوم می کند. فقط دارایی های خلق کاغذی خلق شده توسط دولت آمریکا که به اقتصاد جهانی تزریق شده است به بیش از 32,000 میلیارد دلار میرسد.
A long-term rating reduced from negative to stable. That is Standard & Poor's outlook on the U.S. And, as Iran's president said, the printing of dollars does not help. The following animation from the program American Dream shed more light on why the U.S. is facing this negative rating.
Add to all of that the fact that America's AAA credit rating is being threatened with downgrading by Standard & Poor's, a leader of financial market intelligence. Here's how they explained it in a media release. Because the U.S. has, relative to its AAA peers, what we consider to be very large budget deficits and rising government indebtedness, and the path to addressing these is not clear to us, we have revised our outlook on the long-term rating to negative from stable. We believe there is a material risk that U.S. policymakers might not reach an agreement on how to address medium and long-term budgetary challenges by 2013. If an agreement is not reached and meaningful implementation is not begun by then, this would, in our view, render the U.S. fiscal profile meaningfully weaker than that of peer AAA sovereigns. Watch this animated clip that explains what happened.
S&P turns negative on U.S. outlook. Standard & Poor's has changed its outlook on U.S. credit from stable to negative. There is a 1 in 3 chance S&P will soon downgrade the U.S.'s previously rock-solid AAA rating. Grim news sent the stock market plummeting on Monday and sent investors into a panic. S&P based its decision on fears partisan disagreements will stall a budget resolution through 2013. The Obama administration is trying to downplay the news while still asking for support to raise the deficit ceiling. How much longer until America drowns completely in debt?
2009 had shown promise as the beginning of a new era in the United States, but it remains to be seen if the chance of yes we can will drown out the drone of business as usual in Washington. Yet not only Washington, but U.S.'s apparatus as a functioning country, both domestically and in foreign policy, as Press TV News Analysis guest stated, is portrayed through the Zionist entity.
Well, what's interesting is that, as I said before, Wall Street is running the show, and anytime the administration tries to reform Wall Street will crash the market. It was a year ago today we had the notorious flash crash. That was engineered to get Congress to defer any reform of Wall Street.
Corporate interests, Wall Street interests, and Zionist interests, bankroll and control both of the major parties in this country.
Well, I think the Zionist entity is in turn tied up with the international banking interests that clearly control presidential policies and congressional policies.
Well, based on the previous guests you just saw, U.S. and Israel are intertwined. The following clip from the documentary Gazastrophe, A Day After by Samir Abdullah, is very revealing about the sentiments of a Palestinian man from the Gaza Strip who expressed his views on Israel and the U.S. president.
إلى كل ما زال له ضمير حي إلى كل من يحمل صفة الإنسانية ليس هناك معركة ولا صدام حضارات لا العالم الآن يتجه إلى هذا الاتجاه وهذا اتجاه خاطئ يجب أن يصحو العالم يجب أن يصحو العالم إلى هذا الخطر الآن قبل أن يخرج لكم تراجعوا وخذوا مواقف شريفة خذوا مواقف التي تتحدثون عنها ولا تؤمنون بها أنتم الذين صنعتم حقوق الإنسان وأنتم الذين شكلتم الأمم المتحدة وأنتم الذين شكلتم مجلس الأمن وأنتم الذين وضعتم كل القوانين الإنسانية بعد أن حطمتم الإنسان بعد أن أخذتم الإنسان وجعلتوه من إفريقيا عبيدا لكم في أمريكا والآن أصبح واحد منهم رئيس الولايات المتحدة ماذا سيفعل أوباما ولا أعرف من جاء بأوباما إلى البيت الأبيض بعد أن قام المحافظون الجدد بترطيخ صورة أمريكا على مدار 8 سنوات من حكم بوش المجرم الآن يريدون تصحيح هذا الوجه القبيح.
Back to Yvonne Ridley's guest from the program Agenda. He had, well, an interesting way of describing the coalition government of David Cameron.
This is why the conservative Lib Dem coalition scumbag government.
Ooh, the D word. Well, perhaps most Britons feel this way, as this guest did, since, well, this past week, the Lib Dems experienced a big defeat, a double whammy. First, losing National Council seats, and then losing the national referendum to the old voting system, many attributing this to the harsh austerity measures of UK's government.
This is why the conservative Lib Dem coalition scumbag government is starting to crack down on protests.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
It was almost total wipeout for the Liberal Democrats, the junior partner in the governing coalition. Over 1,000 of their councillors lost their seats in local elections across the UK. Their former supporters punished them for U-turning on proposals to increase university tuition fees and for propping up the right-wing Conservative-led governments. Meanwhile, the Conservatives' support remained stable, which wasn't a bad result for an incumbent government. And the opposition Labour Party did quite well, gaining around 800 councillors.
Lib Dems, I mean, I've talked to many of them today, they were always quite expecting it. They've always been quite prepared for the last few months that they are going to sustain big losses. So it's not going to come as a surprise, but I think we'll kind of see in the next few weeks what's going to happen, because this is the first coalition government in a long time.
Later in the day, things went from bad to worse for the Lib Dems. Around 70% of voters rejected their plans to change the voting system. The alternative vote was supposed to make Britain's parliament more representative. But those who bothered to vote decided that they preferred the current winner-takes-all system that supposedly leads to clear winners and strong governments.
Are you ready for an awesome sight? Well, it's worth to take a look at an awesome scene from Yemen, which did not include bloodshed. And that was Friday prayers from last week, where Yemenis had turned in the thousands. Switching gears now, ready for some off-road rally racing in Iran? Well, as the host of Iran said, buckle up and watch. Do check out the awesome set of the program Iran while you're at it.
A few months back, Bianca Rahimi took you to a site of off-road rally racing and shared details of this adrenaline-packed sport with you. But her pursuit of this sport did not end there. Today, she will take you to rally racing in Lahijan, in the north of Iran. So buckle up.
These guys call themselves Kalla Kharab, which basically in English means
having a screw loose. But the spectators are not content with watching from afar. Despite the Federation's warnings, they storm the racetrack, falling over each other to get the best vantage point and maybe witness one of those scary off-road moments. Iran's off-road races like nothing more than wrecking their rides and putting them back together again. But for some, it's not just the thrill of the race that keeps bringing them back. Today was the moment of truth for Mehrdad Rahimi, who's been working for months on Charbuk, an 8-cylinder monster he built from scratch, and his hard work definitely paid off.
And there's a lot to rumble and roar about. Courtesy of a generous sponsor, the first prize is $3,000.
This entry caught our attention on PressTV.ir. Is the UK sincere in being surprised at Gaddafi's use of British arms? The UK government's apparent surprise at what Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi has been doing with weapons supplied to him by the British since the anti-regime protests began in the country has bewildered analysts. Some of the arms that were used were crowd-control gadgets supplied
by Britain, which has raised questions as to why the UK has emerged as the main provider of lethal arms. The UK extensively has dealt with Saudi Arabia since the 80s, the Al Yamama deal to be considered as the largest one in the region.
Thanks for watching. I'm afraid we're out of time. Don't forget, when you're on the net, you can do two things. One, if you're up to it, drop us a line at realitycheck@presstv.ir. And if anything got your attention or your interest, do check it out on two sites, Press TV Global News on YouTube or presstv.ir. See you next week. Thank you.